You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Good Monday morning. I was trying to finish a piece of toast. I'll tell you the truth. I tried to finish a piece of toast. Then my headphones didn't have a battery, so I had to do that. I had some serious shit going on. Good morning on a Monday. Welcome to my house. All right, done with him. Anyway, Monday the 11th day of February. Or February, as I say it. Not sure why the R is not pronounced, but it's not. All right, only the bozos say February. I can't even say it. February. Yeah, that's what I know. No, it's February. Anyway, I got a couple interesting emails over the weekend. One about the United States Navy I'll share with you. And although the names will be changed to protect the innocent. Who used to say that? The FBI? In the show, the FBI? The names have been changed to protect the innocent. So, yeah, come on. You have to do that. So, somebody sent me an article about suicide. I want to talk about that. And, and then we had kind of a last-minute change. Sergeant Major Joe Huell going to come on. And I met him for the first time last week at Camp Pendleton. He is, he's from the state of New York, served much of his career with the Carolina MAGTAF, as they call themselves, out of, that is the 2nd Marine Division. And so he's instrumental right now in raising money for what's called the Museum of the Marine. That's going to be built, I guess it's going to break ground next year in Jacksonville. So we're talking to him about his career and about that. So, but we're not going to be able to do that till tomorrow. So we got that going for us. And so today, what we're going to do, I have this thing that I want you to listen to. Excuse me. That piece of toast. And it's kind of become one of the premises of post-traumatic winning. So it's pretty interesting. I'm going to read you the article about. I'll share with you elements of the article about suicide. And it was published, I think, in USA Today. Published in USA Today in December. On December 21st of last year. So pretty interesting article about other disease and their rate of decline and suicide's rate of increase. So we'll talk about that. Then, though, the thing that I want to share with you, which is kind of the premise, I'm going to share the long version of it today because I can, and that is there's two doctors in this. One is Dr. Vikram Patel. I think that's how you say his name. And then the other one, hold on, give me a second and I'll get his name. The other one's actually doing a study in the state of Texas. They're both Indian. So it's kind of interesting. It's kind of like Dink Doid. If you're looking for the to be entertained with The Voice today, this is going to be a little bit more cerebral. Yeah, it's going to be like you're going to have to put your thinking cap on for the program today. So I'm just going to warn you, it's not going to skew towards the Mickey Mouse voice, the angry Mickey Mouse character. I just got to get to the page on my website. Where it's located. That's right. Where all good things are located. So you go to the Armory Radio page. You click on Post Traumatic Winning Video, a conversation with Dr. Madhukar, M-A-D-H-U-K-A-R. Madhukar Trivedi and Dr. Vikram Patel. Madhukar Trivedi, Madhukar. I think I'm saying that right. All right. New ideas for strengthening community mental health care from North Texas to India. So it's an interesting little thing. And the premise of this, and the reason why I want you to listen to it, is their premise is that 99% of depression can be treated by your general practitioner. And most of that treatment is going to center around sleep, exercise, and diet. And maybe things like meditation. You're going to hear it from them. Right? It's not really how we do it in the United States. So what are the implications for other things that create anxiety in Americans and our rush to go to mental health mental health care providers, okay, and okay, now we're going to talk about them. So I know that I'm going to get an email that says, oh, you're hating on mental health care providers. No, I'm not. What I will tell you is what I've consistently said on the program, and that is this. If the next person that walks up to me and say those four drugs they prescribe that I call the zombie cocktail, right, anxiety, depression, anger, and sleep, okay, that and that talk therapy was exactly what I needed. The next person that does that is going to be the first person. Okay? So you've heard me say that ad nauseum. Okay? Simply doesn't happen. Never happened to me. Never had somebody walk up to me and say that stuff. Okay? So, what does that tell you? Our approach is probably a little bit skewed to medication and not skewed to the thing that they don't have time to do, which is sit down to talk to you. And not only to listen to you, but give you constructive feedback and things to do so that you don't have to come here for an hour a week, every week for the rest of your life, for God's sake. Whoa. Yeah. Now, I will say this. I am biased, though, because the conclusion I'm coming to about the private mental health care providers is this. You are a paying customer, yes? Yes. Or your insurance company is. One of the two of you are paying. Or guess what? You ain't getting seen. So anyway, I'm filling up my calendar with revenue producing appointments. Yay? So do I want to send them on their way very quickly when I could kind of work this a little bit? How do you think, what's the best business practice? Say, oh, you don't need to see me. Okay, look. We're going to see each other for maybe 3 weeks, that's all. And then you're out of here. You're on your own. You don't need me. Right? Things you don't hear from your therapist. Right? Well, we'll get to know each other. That'll take about 4 years. And then we'll start with, you know. I kid. Because I care. But when people come up to me and say things that I know to be true, that they've never heard. For instance, like, you're not going to get over this. Oh, my God, thank you. Why doesn't anybody else say that? Well, you know, that's a good question. Why don't they say that? Because then you might conclude that, okay, well, I don't need to come here every week and talk for an hour and have them take notes and not really give me constructive rudder steer. So that's my bias. All right. Let me tell you, the very good mental health care providers, I think, will always contribute to people's lives. Is everybody very good? No. Small portion are good. Vast majority are average. If they're average, what do they tend to be doing? Following the AMA, the American Psychiatric Association, whoever the hell they are, the protocols for treatment of these things as agreed upon by physicians and insurance companies, and that is, oh, McNamara, PTSD, this drug, in these doses, talk therapy, boom, this is what we'll pay for. That's the approach. That's how it works. Is it helping? No. The numbers only get bigger. So again, I want to take you back, and I want you to hear this conversation. And I was the guy who gave this to me is Josh Goldberg, who introduced me to all kinds of cool stuff. But Josh said, hey, you should listen to this. So I did, and it's interesting. Now, I could cut out about a 4-minute slice and say, hey, this is really, really interesting. But I think that given today, because we have a little bit of extra time, that you should go ahead and take full advantage of that and listen to this. So anyway, and it kind of dovetails nicely. We'll talk about suicide, and then we'll listen to this thing. Okay. So, anywho. So, good morning to you. What else is going on? Oh, I need some help. Yeah, no kidding, Mac. We all know that. I am working on a form. And actually, I almost have it solved, I think. I'm not sure. So, what I need to do is I need to be able to mechanize. Everybody understand what that means? I need to be able to mechanize the my Warrior Wellness Octagon. So that means I have to be able to punch numbers into it, and it has to give me a number out of it. Okay, so how do I do that? The only way I found to do that is to create a form in Microsoft Access. Okay? So I take a picture and I put it there, and then on top of the boxes that I have in the picture, and the picture is of the Warrior Wellness Octagon, I then take boxes. I've defined all the data. I then take those boxes that I can pull out of a menu, and I drag the box with the numerical value into over the top of the box in the picture. Okay. So my question is there any other way to do this? Is there any other way to do this? Do you know of a way to do this that that looks better, or that might be easier? So are you that person that is pretty good with databases and things like that? I might be able to use your services, or at least your advice. So, if you are, shoot me an email, mac.almarinradio@gmail.com. Yeah. Because I was messing with this database last night, so I can continue to do good things, which I like to do. And so, in messing with it, it started to work. It started to do what I wanted it to do, which I love. And so, in the midst of all that, there are some limitations. Now, I'm sure for somebody that knows, they'll say, oh my God, you're so stupid. And I'm okay with that. Yeah, believe it or not, I'm okay with that. As long as they help me fix my problem. But if you say, oh, you're so stupid, and then don't fix my problem, then that's going to upset me, and then I resort normally to juvenile stupid stuff like name-calling and ridicule and things like that. And no, nobody's looking for that, okay? Nobody is looking for that. So, exactly. With that said, good morning. United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Happy Monday. We'll be right back. trying to think of who this is dedicated to today. This is dedicated to whoever's going to help me solve my database problem. Actually, it's a form that goes on top of the database. All I want to do is to be able to put it on my website, have people click on it, and this kind of form pops up that I have, that I've made. And then I want them to be able to, like, just put their cursor on fields and put in values, and pew, a number to pop up in the center. Easy peasy stuff. Yeah, I even did it, right? And there's even a logical operator then in there, right? If in relationship, actually it's significant other. If in significant other they put NA, the denominator then goes to 70, not 80. Yeah, how about that for pretty sophisticated database stuff? Boom. So, anyway, this is dedicated to that unknown person, whoever you are. Call me. Email me. Email me. I need your help. Ah, no, no. We don't like that one. Not that one.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. we've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Speaking of winning, the weather is losing, man, I'm telling you. Unbelievable in California, man. All it does is rain. It's raining. It's like I'm living in Seattle all of a sudden. There's a reason why I don't live in Seattle, because I don't like that stuff. Yeah. So we'll check the weather on the Marineland today. Raining and 35 degrees in Quantico. Cloudy in 49, Camp Lejeune. Fog in 53 in Granbury, Texas. In 29 Palms, sun and 33 degrees. The cold spot on the map, 29 Palms. Camp Pendleton, tied with Quantico for the second coldest. 35 degrees. 35. That means it got to freezing last night. Like, what is that? Anyway. Cloudy in 62 in Okinawa. Global warming. That's right. Get used to it. Dark cloudy in 57 in Ramadi. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, cloudy in 59 at the home of All Marine Radio. Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of what used to be sunny Southern California. Not so much anymore. It is fair, whatever the hell that means, and 40 degrees. Feels like 38. There's a wind chill in California. What? Exactly. Looking for a high of 60, though, and sunny today. Tomorrow, 67 and clouds. Wednesday, 57 and rain. This shit does not end. Honestly, it's amazing. It's like I don't recall. All right, there's a month. Let me do a 10-day forecast. We'll do an extended version of the weather because it's pissing me off, and it was the subject of the conversation yesterday. I don't remember, okay? This is awful. Yeah, through the end of the month, through the 25th of February, which is the 10-day forecast for Orange County, California, the high will be tomorrow. As one of my kids would say, 67. That's the high. We're talking February. Okay, we're not talking December. Okay, the average temperature is going to hover around 60 degrees for the next 10 days. Okay, for the month, like they have any clue. What? I'm not even. Needless to say, this is not making me happy. Not making me happy. All right. We're going to take a break. We come back and check news headlines. And then I got a couple stories that we'll talk about, one being suicide. We're going to listen to a little community-based mental health care discussion this morning, which I think, honestly, I think you'll find enlightening, what they're finding, how they screened, all the rest of that stuff. Honestly, if you have people that you know that have depression in their lives, I think you will learn something about it. Yeah, go figure. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the stinger, letting free. And when a traffic killer break down in nowhere, so
all right, let me share with you a story about suicide. Then we'll talk about another one I got from a parent. All right, suicide rate up 33% in less than 20 years, yet funding lags behind other top killers. Suicide rates are up 33% in the United States, yet funding lags behind that of all other top causes of death, leaving suicide research in its infancy. And then there's the accompanying data that goes with it. Stroke is down 40%. Heart disease, these are deaths caused by, right? Heart disease, down by 38.1%. Cancer, down 24.1%. So, over the course of the last 20 years. Pretty impressive, right? And, let's see, what is this? Chronic respiratory disease, down 10%. Suicide up 33.3%. This is according to the National Institute for Health and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The only thing that eclipses suicide as a cause of death, and this is crazy, I don't understand why this is accidents. Why is that? Now, suicide funding also trails conditions with lower mortality rates. Okay? And this is National Institute of Health spending on suicide research dwarfed by spending on other. Cancer, $6 billion. Suicide, $68 million. How about that? Pretty amazing. I want to say I'm surprised by that. And again, this article was written in December of 2018, so just last month, a little bit more than a month ago. Heart disease, 1.3 million. Alzheimer's, 1.3 million. Diabetes, 1.1 million. Right? Suicide, 60. I'm sorry, I was saying 1.1. Those were all billion. 1.3, 1.3, those were billion. Suicide, 68 million. 47,000 Americans killed themselves in 2017. Since 1999, the suicide rate has climbed 33%. Americans are more than twice as likely to die by their own hands of their own will than by someone else's. But while homicides spark vigils and protests, entering into headlines, presidential speeches, police budgets, suicides don't. Still shrouded in stigma, many suicides go unacknowledged, save for the celebrities Robin Williams, Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain, punctuating the unrelenting rise in suicide deaths with a brief public outcry. Research suggests our ways of living may be partly to blame in ways that don't bode well for the future. Alcohol and substance abuse are risk factors, and both are increasing. Isolation raises the risk. Nearly half of Americans say they sometimes or always feel alone. Nearly half? How about that for crazy? Increasing smartphone use has been linked to suicidal thoughts in teens. Even climate change. I'm going to go the climate change route. You know, when you think of things that have changed in our country, you know, a lot. You know, the things most people used to go to church. Right? You physically went to church. You physically interacted with people at church. Most people do, right? Those numbers have declined. Suicide rates have risen. Any correlation? Let's just leave the spiritual side out of it, okay? to not feeling alone. Quote, we're trying to reduce suicide death rates in the face of a culture that's ever more fascinated with violence, that has a bunch of opioids around left and right, where family structure isn't getting more cohesive, and neither is community structure, says Thomas Joyner, a leading suicide researcher. That's a lot to fight against. Bet your ass it's a lot to fight against. Pretty amazing, huh? So, in the midst of that, are we surprised that the suicide number has gone up? Maybe we should be surprised if the number didn't go up, given all of that. That would probably be a more realistic. So all these things are going to happen in your culture, but the suicide rate isn't going to go up? What planet do you live on? All right. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S. and is often called a public health emergency. Quote, what I'm painfully aware of is that all the areas where the top 10 causes of death in the United States have gone down have received significant funding. And significantly more attention. I don't know about that. I mean, suicide, you see it all the time. There has been so much more put into every one of those causes of death than suicide. If you didn't do anything for heart disease and you didn't do anything for cancer, then you'd see those rates rise too. National Institute of Health officials say they do not expressly budget by disease, and research funding in other categories could affect suicide without being suicide specific. The National Institute of Health spent $2.7 billion on mental health, for example. A large portion of the research is not disease-oriented, but based on human biology. For instance, if we're studying brain functions, it might be pertinent to suicide, but we might not necessarily categorize it as suicide. Same with depression, which obviously is linked to suicide. The cost in dollars and suffering in science. Suicides and suicide attempts cost an estimated $39.5 billion a year, most of that in lost productivity, a 2016 study estimated. And that's nothing compared with the cost in human lives and suffering, but it does give you some sense of monetizing it. It's a doctor by the name of Thomas Joyner. He is the Robert O. Lawton Distinguished Professor of Psychology, who lost his own father to suicide in 1990. Teaches at Florida State. As a graduate student in psychology in 1990, Joyner began focusing on depression that summer. His father, a former Marine sergeant, turned a software pioneer, took his own life. He was a successful, visionary, ambitious, intelligent man, Joyner said, and he had an illness that ended up being fatal. That's how I see him. Joyner, now a psychology professor and a clinician at Florida State University, said his father's death helped persuade him to make studying suicide his life's work. I was already inclined towards that decision, and this only made it more stark. I already knew there was a problem. Next headline in the story is, scientific knowledge is limited, public knowledge is wrong. Even key discoveries that enjoy broad support among researchers have yet to percolate into the public consciousness. Public health experts say suicide is preventable. People think suicide is inevitable. consciously or unconsciously, many Americans write off those who seriously consider killing themselves as hopeless causes, unreachable. A study in 2017 showed that people are skeptical of a suicidal person's ability to recover. The idea that even if we stop the person today, we won't tomorrow. Quote, if you think once someone's suicidal, that they're just going to die, then it doesn't make sense to invest money in that, Joyner said, of a common point of ignorance. Science tells us this isn't true. In 2016, nearly 45,000 died of suicide, but the number who attempted was almost 29 times that, meaning that more than 1.25 million survived. That's pretty staggering. 9 out of 10 people who survive a suicide attempt will not go on to die by suicide later, according to the studies that have track survivors over the decades. States with the highest suicide risk. Okay, the highest states in the nation. Okay, are states with significant Native American population. Montana, Wyoming, and Utah. After that, you have New Mexico. You keep going, states with the lowest suicide rate. New York, New Jersey, go figure. Right? Massachusetts, Washington, D.C. Suicide rates have risen across the nation. The fastest rising states are northern tier states. Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, Utah. I believe that's Oklahoma and Iowa. No, it's Nebraska. Oklahoma, Nebraska, South Carolina, New Hampshire, and Vermont have the highest rate of increase in suicide. The state with the lowest increase is Nevada. Now, not exactly sure why Nevada. Other states that are low, California, Arizona, in terms of rate of increase. What is that? That's Mississippi. That's Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Virginia, North Carolina. Delaware? Interesting. So there's some statistical numbers. And then they talk about the stigma of suicide. I want to read this. I'll read one more point and then I want to get to another letter. All right. Therapy. Although interventions including medication and therapy, Joyner says he sees suicidal patients at his clinic go from pretty desperate, pretty intent to die, to turning a corner, and usually it's shockingly quick. Joyner theorizes that suicide results from a combination of factors, feeling like a burden, isolation, and having lethal means, and a lack of a normal fear of death. Short-circuit one of those, isolation, for instance, and you might stop somebody from hurting themselves. It stands to reason if you reconnect a little bit, then risk should abate. So we just arrange within the context of the people's day-to-day lives small increased doses of social connection. It's a very simple behavioral idea, but it seems to work for a lot of people. I'll read this and then we'll change gears here. Shear Avery, a transgender person who sees a therapist not associated with Joyner, has lived with daily suicidal ideations and continues to hold on to hope. Quote, for so long I've been stuck in just wanting everything to disappear from wanting the trauma to go away, said Avery, who whose traumatic childhood included foster homes and conversion therapy. I'm still alive. I'm still here. That feels like an accomplishment. Healing is not a linear experience. She needs to come to post-traumatic winning. So anyway, just interesting. Somebody sent me that about suicide and how much it's increased. And I will tell you this. My own thoughts as the more I and again, I would tell you post-traumatic winning is not an anti-suicide thing. Although, in my opinion, lower suicide rates after it's given are in my opinion, absolutely expected. What it is how to live better. How to live better. And let me tell you one of the biggest problems we have. We have a problem with parenting and schools that, in my opinion, do not set young people up to be successful in life. They go out of their way because, you know, any type of adversity, you know, challenges a young person, and they may not respond to it well. So now we're just going to do away with adversity. If you fail everything, you're still going to get promoted. You're not going to be held back in most school districts. Why? Because it damages you. So we'll just continue to allow you on your merry way, on your merry dysfunctional way that never has you, A, be accountable, and then, B, address the things that you're not good at, which is learning how to overcome those things, right? We don't force that behavior. And so we pump you down the road to deal with it at some other appointed place and time. So, and I think that young people need structure. We don't like structure. And I'll tell you what, it's coming to the military too. The stuff you see in the Navy is exactly, and I'm talking about not the young people. The bigger problem, and I'll tell you, in the Navy and the Marine Corps, is the mid-level management now. Because they're from that same group. They don't stick to their guns. They give up too easy. They give in too easy. Right? Trying to make everybody happy all the time. And it doesn't work. You can't do it like that. And uncomfortable, right, being that guy. Uncomfortable being that girl that says, no, we ain't doing it like that. All right. Switching gears, as they say. So, switching gears. I gotta find the email. Ship to be left unnamed is currently underway. Preparing to go on a deployment. The commander of the strike group arrived unannounced via aviation platform. Nobody, including the ship's commanding officer, knew he was coming. He walked all the spaces and put the weapons officer through a grilling on his own responsibilities, which that officer failed. As that officer is clueless. The admiral asked one of the ensigns. I don't know what a VLS tech is. Quote, how often does the weapons officer visit this space without the commanding officer? The response was, honestly, sir, he doesn't come down here. It was a very tense and awkward visit. Word is the admiral recommended to the commanding officer that the weapons officer be relieved. One can't help but think that the commanding officer is not far behind. Now, let me tell you the positive in all of this. The positive is unannounced inspections, man. Right? Unannounced inspections. By admirals in the Navy. Hey, how you doing? Let's take a walk, you and me, around your ship, and let me see what it's doing on a normal day here. and then firing the, you know whose style of leadership that is? That is J.N. Mattis. Walk in, hey boys and girls, what are we doing? Who's in charge? Hey Colonel, how about you and I go take a walk? Yeah. And then when it doesn't turn out well, hey, you need to go back to your hooch and you need to pack all your stuff and we're gonna leave in 60 minutes, all right? And you're gonna go with me. Hey, XO, you are now in charge. Here's what I expect. I'll be back in 4 days. Done. Anyway, that's how he used to do it. And the email describes some other incidents. And one is in somebody just supposedly to do rounds, right? Which means you go and check on different spaces. Well, they're on watch. Didn't do that. A space flooded and destroyed critical engineering components. The ship then had to cancel a deployment with the resulting cost of huge money for the critical engineering equipment because parts are scarce. Another admiral did an unannounced visit while they were in port a few weeks ago. They've had a couple inspections that didn't go well, including one where they couldn't even get the engines to run. Unbelievable shit. You know, again, I it's amazing, right? But to me, the positive sign is you're seeing admirals, at least the worst thing would be like, this was going on, probably even worse, and there was nobody out going and taking a look. Now at least the admirals are getting off their dead asses. I mean, to me, that's the beginning of the change. It's the beginning of the change, and then you got to fire the people that are incompetent. But I thought I'd share that with you. And we talk about leadership. And again, to me, when you look at it, it's kind of interesting. I'll link the two things together. The suicide issue, the more you look at it, the more you talk to it. And I'll just give you stories in the aftermath of doing post-traumatic winning at Camp Lejeune. One, young Marines are dying to talk to somebody about their lives and their issues, right? Most of us are not approachable, though. Hey, how you doing, Marine? Good, sir. Everything all right? Yes, sir. Want to sit down and talk? Sir. Come here. Let's talk about it. Let me tell you about how screwed up my life is, and then you can tell me about how screwed up your life is. Okay, sir. And, you know, the stories are Chatty Cathy's. They can't shut up about their own life. They want to talk to you. They're dying to talk to you. So, interesting stuff, right? Interesting stuff. So, in the absence of that, in the absence of them getting the infrastructure they need from their parents, you know, just give them what they want. You can't upset them. You can't say no to them. And let me tell you, to me, where it starts. It starts with timeout corner. Yeah, there's got to be, look, it's spanking, I'm all for it. Now, again, I'm not talking about beating your kid, right? But the way we used to discipline kids in this country, what happens to a child when there are no negative consequences? I just go play in the corner? That's a consequence? No wonder their behavior doesn't change. Right? No wonder they don't get skewed to the good. Because they just do what they want. And they do what they want at school. And so when you have people that go down that road, this structure, and now they're in mid-level management people in the military. And they are woefully ill-equipped, or woefully equipped, or they are ill-equipped to hold people accountable because they don't do it. They haven't had it done to them in life. And it's an issue that impacts universities, schools, and the military. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that leader. I don't want to be that girl who enforces the standards. Because, come on, everybody's just blowing them off anyway. Well, bad news for you, because nobody fairy dusts you on the flight over to go fight. And if you're an undisciplined shit unit, you're going to get your head kicked in. So, we'll take a quick break. I'm going to share a mental health discussion with you. Yeah, pretty interesting. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.